Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all tell the people them, no?
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, or parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, no?
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome, 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 everyone, to God in the Midst, Get'em Radio, Thursday night edition. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord Father, we bless your name. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We adore you. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you so much for your very presence here because your word says, hallelujah, if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We thank you for being in the midst tonight, and we look forward to what you're going to do, Lord God. Our hearts are open. Hallelujah. Our very beings are open to you, Lord God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. We welcome you into our homes right now in the name of Jesus. Touch everyone in their households, Lord God, and whatever's going on in it, Lord God. If there's something wrong, we ask to make it right. Hallelujah. And then we say, Lord God, take that right thing and set it apart and dedicate it for your use and for your glory. And we bless your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. We lift up our speaker to you tonight. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you for just causing him to just dedicate this special time and set it apart for you, Lord God. We thank you for the testimonies, everything that you said through him this month, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And now, even tonight, Lord, we ask you to refresh him, renew him, and revive him. Even right now, in the name of Jesus, overflow. Let an overflow of your anointing be upon him as we make a demand. Hallelujah. We make a demand on the anointing on the inside of him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We know that by your spirit, and we know that he has seen miracles, signs, and wonders by your spirit, that you've done these things through him, and we make a demand, hallelujah, on that tonight in the name of Jesus. All you're doing on the inside of him and through him and around and about him, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I know I just prayed an opening prayer, but what's on my heart before Brother Wendell Phillips Barwick comes and speaks tonight is what's on my heart is what's been going on in the St. Louis area. You may or may not know about it, those who live in different parts of the country, but what has happened here in the past couple of days is that there was a shooter that came into a high school and was shooting in the high school. One teacher was killed and a student was killed, and there were many that were injured in different ways. And so we want to just lift up the families, those students, what they're going through, the teachers, the faculty. We just want to take a moment to lift them up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just lift up all of the people who were involved by being there or even knowing someone who was there or even who have gone to school there before. One of the ladies that come to our church used to go to that school, and I think she even has relatives who go there now. And so, Lord God, we lift up that whole situation to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, we just ask you to comfort each and every heart, even the heart of the parents of the shooter, Lord. The shooter is dead now, and the parents tried to alert people and let them know what was going on, but, you know, happened, and things just kept going in that direction. So, Lord God, we just lift up everyone involved in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your peace beyond all understanding. Guard their hearts, guard their minds, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for sending people around them who can comfort them with the comfort that you have comforted them with, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and cause peace to rule and reign in their hearts, Lord God. We pray over the school right now in the name of Jesus, that unclean spirit that came in to the school, because this was not a boy that did this. This was a power. It was a principality. It was rulers in the darkness that came into that place. We thank you right now that your blood penetrates every area of that school right now, and that unclean spirit is obliterated by the blood of Jesus. Will just go around and about everyone who has seen it in the name of Jesus. And we come against any kind of copycat spirit that would try to go out and get others to do the same as this boy did. Lord God, we trust you. Hallelujah. You said you work all things together for good, that you're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You never fail us. And we still believe that in the name of Jesus. Even though this happened, we still believe you, Lord God, and we still look to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. And that's what we believe, Lord God. We still believe to see your goodness in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 And I know that there's other things that are going on in other parts of the country and the world. And we continue to keep that in prayer as well. Amen. So we have had quite a week here, or not a week, a month here with our brother, hallelujah, our brother Phil, as he has gone through his testimony. We learned about him, his personal life when he was young and everything. And then we learned about Murford and Tree Tunes. He told us about that earlier this month, and how Murford and Tree Tunes led to him being a missionary in Pakistan. And then we heard, you know, what the Lord has done through him in Pakistan and what he is doing through him, helping to release people from bonded labor in Pakistan and to be able to help them to have a livelihood outside of the brickyard. Glory to God. Amen. And so without any further ado, we're going to hear this man of God preach the word of God. Hallelujah. And so we want to welcome you, Brother Phil. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Sister Barbara. Thank you. Good to be here. I'm excited.
Amen.
And thank you for asking me to share.
Amen. Well, I'll just say, let the Lord use you. Amen. We're going to turn it over to you now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to add that prayer needs to saturate St. Louis. I know when we hear of a school shooting, it really rips at the heart because these children are innocent, sitting down, trying to learn, and a predator comes in, someone very enraged for whatever reason, and inspired by the devil, and he it's a terrifying thing. There's an organization in St. Louis called Pray for the Loo, and other organizations, other churches, other people who have been interceding for this city, and I tell you what, we are number one. This city is, I hate to say, number one per capita murder rate, crime rate. I'm not trying to scare any listeners in other states from moving here. We're 10th in the world. But, when there's a school shooting, everyone is grieving. We should be grieving every weekend because there's many students or more who died this a few days ago in St. Louis and die every weekend on the streets of St. Louis. And so we do believe a revival is coming to the city because in great darkness, the light shines brighter and brighter and brighter to the full day.
Come on.
Before I start my sermon, I want to do a shout out to a woman who a conflict and horror and things that grip us sell on the media. But I want to say the name Jean Kutzka, a teacher who gave her life. She gave her life. The last girl she helped out of her room. She actually helped out of a window, and because my wife knows someone who's a friend of this woman, and the girl twisted her ankle, her fall, she could have really hurt herself out of that window, And as soon as she released that child out of the window, the shooter shot Jean Kutzka, the teacher, dead. She believed that every child is a unique individual. She believed in giving of herself and helping others. And I just want to glorify God. I want us to see how, what an honor it is. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friend. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, not only in this city, but in cities across America. You really got to lay the hammer down, folks. You really need to take up the two-edged sword and declare it cannot have the streets. The enemy cannot lay down lawlessness like a carpet and a blanket over the United States of America. We declare that regardless of the prince of the power of the air, and regardless of the devil being a liar and a thief, God has given us weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left. We do not love our life unto death, just as Jean Kutzka did not love her life unto death. And we as believers will not sit and curl up and wait for the tribulation to get somebody else, be transpired to heaven out of here. Well, we will wait on the Lord. We wait on you, Lord. Not by might or power, but by your spirit. And those who wait on you, we will mount up with wings as eagles. We will walk and not grow weary. We will run and not faint. We are weak. Those children were weak. People who get carjacked were just minding their own business. People who have built businesses and they were broken into and burglarized and beaten, or they were minding their own business. There is an attempted attack on this nation, attack on the Constitution, attack on the freedom of speech, attack on the freedom of life. It's coming from the very leadership of this nation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And when we open up the box of abortion, we opened up the gateways of hell and Hades and death. All of a sudden, human life didn't matter that much anymore. So we speak life. We speak what the devil has meant for evil, God will use for good. And this is pretty much the base of my sermon. It's called Joseph, Jonah, and Jesus. From the pit to the power. We're a mess. We are a mess, right? At least I know I'm a mess. I'm one. And some think our species is such a mess not only to ourselves, but to the environment, to other human beings who aren't such a mess to the animal species. That we should be eliminated. That we should let nature fend for herself. But those who think this, they don't think they deserve to be in that number. Anyway, what do Joseph, Jonah, and Jesus, these three men, have in common? Sometimes not of their own choosing, and sometimes of their choosing. In Joseph's case, the mess that he got himself into, the pit he got himself into, was not of his own choosing. Although bragging a little bit about a dream he had, it had something to do with it. Jonah got himself into his mess totally by his own choosing. Oh, what God did through their mess. You know, there's a verse I think many of us hear it all the time. Sometimes it's too much, right? Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. That means bad stuff, blank happens. All things work together for good for those who love God or the called according to his purpose. Another way we could say that is you could say that without bad things happening to us, few of us would have ever come to the high, high holy hill. Own sin had not found me out in a terrifying way, I would not have come running to God to become a born, a new creature in Jesus. And if 10 years ago I hadn't lost my house and farm at Bank of America, I would not today be a steward of a ministry in Pakistan that rescues children from generational slavery and ministers to the poor and to those in darkness with signs and wonders. So I can go back to my regrets, but I'm convicted when I do that because, like Paul says, forgetting the things that lie behind us, but we press on, is a new day. Every year, a tree puts on a new layer. Every spring, even though the trees have been denuded of leaves, they grow again. They grow again. You know, in the Midwest, at least, there's just a beautiful symphony of color right now. As an arborist, every fall I think about this. I've seen trees dying unto death, and when I call it dying unto death or dying unto life, when a tree dies unto death, there's no color in those leaves. They just shrivel up. They turn gray, dark brown, black. They fall off. But when a tree dies unto life, in other words, when a tree is not dying, it's just going dormant from the cooler days and the shorter nights, the leaves turn colors. And they really don't. Chlorophyll dissipates. The green dissipates. And what's revealed are the reds and the oranges and the golden browns. Those colors were there all the time. They're layers of colors. And sometimes when the chlorophyll dissipates, right, the thin outer veneer of our civility, of what was keeping us happy and joyful and hunky-dory, especially in our upper middle first class world of America, it doesn't go our way. The layer gets peeled off and we're like, what the? And at that time, we get to see perhaps the colors that are revealed under the green that's gone. And right now, a lot of the green is going. I mean, physically speaking, and the economy and the price of gas and the price of ketchup, but whatever. Still the poorest among us live better than the kings down through the centuries. But that's neither here nor there. I'm talking about the mess, fallen creation, how God even redeems it, a nature that's fallen, not because of global warming, because of our sin, because we were supposed to be the husbandmen of all of it. And all of nature groans. Trees get diseased and die. A female spider will eat her lover to death. Paul hadn't been thrown in jail, right? We wouldn't not have had all those wonderful letters. You know, when the doors opened in Pakistan, I had two beloved relatives, and they were both chatting to me from one up in his fishing boat in Michigan, maybe the other one maybe in his fishing boat in Florida, and they were texting me, what are you doing going to Pakistan? What about your family? What about your wife? What about your own front yard? What about the poor among us? This stuff happens all over the world, And when one of them said, what if you end up in jail? I finally stopped trimming because I'm working. I'm busting out the last big job that's going to get me over the edge to go and free 13 families from slavery all in one fell swoop. And I finally got on my phone and I texted him. I said, what if I end up in jail? Paul ended up in jail. And we have the so many precious letters he wrote from jail. Remember Joseph? He said, he told his brothers, when you threw me in that pit, what the devil meant for evil, God has used it for good. How about Moses? He killed a man. He had it made in the shade. In Pharaoh's kingdom. There's no one higher than him in authority or possessions than Pharaoh. I'm talking about Joseph. Now, Moses, yeah, he was Pharaoh's daughter's son and was over so many things in Egypt. And you can go to the story and see how it all developed, but he killed a man. He had it made in Egypt. He murdered a man. He murdered a man. And he ended up taking care of some guy's sheep in a land called Midian. Well, he had to go through some fire. Common denominator of these men and women, then and today, who it happens to all of us is we have to go through fire. I want to come to modern times, a couple thousand, 4,000 years after Adam and Eve blew it in the garden, right? St. Patrick, stolen by Irish pirates off his English coast. His parents had to have been so heartbroken. Patrick of Ireland. I mean, that's how we know him, but he used to be a young Patrick boy of England. But he was stolen by Irish pirates off his English coast. Without going into detail, he evangelized the entire Isle of Ireland through some fire. I want to read the lyrics to the song I wrote many, many, many years ago. It goes like this. And it's based on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went through the fiery furnace. But just listen to the lyrics. 7 times. He made the fire hotter 7 times. Our God is a consuming fire, a hotter fire a man can't find. The furnace is for silver, and the oven is for gold. But the Lord tries a man with fire that singes his soul. 7 times he made the fire hotter 7 times. Like the word, I am tried. Tried in an oven 7 times. Burn away the stubble. Oh, burn away the hay. In your holy temple, Lord, no works that burn will stand in that day. 7 times. He made the fire hotter 7 times, hotter than the Missouri sun. Smelt away my dross as with lye. Consume me in your fire. Consume me in your love. Burn the things that will burn with fire from above. 7 times. He made the fire hotter 7 times. 7 times. Someone like the Son of God is walking through the fire. I know my God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I will still believe. You know, think, what if Adam had not sinned? I mean, do you ever think that, whoever's listening? I mean, what if he even not been deceived? What would the world be like? Would we be here? What, you know, but who's to say if they made it? They had a son and they had another son. They would have had to go through the test. And as it happened, the older boy killed the younger brother. He was jealous of him. And without going into what could be another entire sermon about jealousy, I think it's one of the other pillars of evil, standing right next to the pillar, the satanic pillar of pride. That's why Jesus was crucified, right? If pride is father of all sin, I submit to you that jealousy is the mother. But anyway, back to Adam and Eve. God had to know when he created a race that none of the powers of angels, which is he wanted someone to fellowship with. He left Adam and Eve pretty powerless. He wanted someone to walk with. Think of my mother's favorite hymn, in the garden. She wants it at her funerals. Mom, she's not listening, but it goes like this. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, that fellowship has ended. And it wouldn't be until 4,000 years later that in the fullness of time, God, the Son, came in the flesh, leaving the eternal abode of his Father in the fullness of time, like Paul writes in Galatians 4. So what's with that? So we hold his glory. What's with that? The mess of the likes of us. What's with this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. All right, St. Louis, whatever city you're in, declare this. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, glory of God in the face of Christ. Let me quote a simpler version. I think it's New Living Translation. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, says, but we have this treasure. I'm going to add in Nessi, vessels, the start of this out saying, talking about mess. But just put a BL in place of that M. God calls us blessed. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. Another translation says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, earlier I thought who am I to open my mouth and preach your word, oh God. You know, who am I to open and speak the word? I mean, the word was made flesh in the form of Jesus for 3 short years. And then he went and got invisible again. He did that on purpose. You know, we don't glorify God who can be contained on a stage or a social media star or who's written the most hit songs or been in the most hit movies. We worship an invisible, only wise God whose universe is the stage. We don't worship a God, you know, who's created hit songs and he's a social media star and a movie star and all that. We worship God who actually created the sound waves and created the ears to hear sound and music. We have a God and a King and an eternal Savior who has nothing to do with lights, action, and film. But he's the Father of lights. You know, as much, I'm going to close with this, as much of a mess as we are, as much of a brat, fighting with my brother as I could have been, as much as running around in my sinful nature at times, if I had been kidnapped, a child had been kidnapped, and they had a loving father and mother, that mother or father, if they had known who took him, if they had known who took me, they would have gone to the end of the earth to get me. I sometimes think if my grandson or granddaughter were, God forbid, kidnapped, I think my life would stop. Stand down, USA down, right? Everything down. Especially if we knew a location and where it was, and what if we knew no law enforcement was going to take care of them, no law of the land was going to free that child. This is a real fear that fathers and mothers have in Pakistan, by the way, the scourge, kidnapping, rape, Christian girl forced into another religion. You know what they're told? They're told your family's dead if you do not. People might say, how can a girl, you know, how can someone turn from Christianity to Islam? It's a scourge, and it's one of the things we're praying about, and God's going to give us, make his power known in that land. In our own land, we have threats. Satan's coming against our children in vile ways, but I want to go back to this. A mother or father will go to the end of the earth to get their child back from the kidnap. Their child's life, in fact, is more precious to them than their own. If a certain brother of mine is listening to this tonight, he lost his son through a tragic accident a year ago, and I bet he would trade his life for his son because he left a widow and 3 children. What am I getting at? This is what our Heavenly Father did. As messed up as we are, he didn't just go to the end of the earth the other side of the earth. He went to the end of the universe. Because we were kidnapped. We were taken from him. Even like a child can be deceived. Your father told me to pick you up. Pakistani parents are telling their children, too, if anyone comes and stops your car and says, your father told me to get you. Run. That's what our Heavenly Father did. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And the second verse is not as popular. Come to the world to judge us, but that we could be saved. In other words, we were already kidnapped. We were already deceived. Satan already had us in filthy lucre of ransom, and no money could free us from the kidnapper, from the liar and the thief. We're messed up. And he loves this mess, just like any mother, father loves changing the mess. My daughter and my son-in-law, the mess of a baby in her diaper, in his diaper, sometimes it's the main part of their life and existence. My God, that's our Heavenly Father. He created us in his image. And so, whatever mess we're in, whatever mess you're in, whatever defilement, whatever discouragement, whatever desperation, whatever thoughts of death, someone loves you. Your Father loves you so much, so, so much. Your Heavenly Father, the Father of your Father. Even though your father might not have been the best father, maybe you think he was the worst father, but that's because there's a sin and there's a devil, and he hates that you were made in the image of God. He hates that with a passion. Why then does God allow bad stuff to happen? Why does he allow this mess? Because we weren't made like the angels. He did not lay down his life for angels. They didn't have a second chance. We'll know in eternity forever and ever. But you got to know how special you are. In fact, I will go so far as to say this, and I used to think, well, would this be true? Now I know it's true. Do you know that if you were the only human being on earth and you've been deceived, you've been kidnapped by the liar and the thief, that the creator of the cosmos would have come for you? He would have laid down his life for you? It's not that he had to do this because there were a million of us who needed rescue. No. If a mother or father's child is kidnapped, they know bad stuff's happening to other people, but they're ready to lay down their life for their child. This is our God. This is our gospel. Bring it on. Let's bless each other's medicine right now, Lord. We don't want to continue wallowing in sin. No. But the psalmist who in Psalm 8 said, what's man or woman that you are mindful of him, son of man, that you take delight in him? For you have made him to be for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. But now we don't see all things in subjection. But we see you who has been made. You were made, Lord, lower than the angels. You crowned yourself with glory and honor, actually to the point of death with a crown of thorns. You let men mess you up for the likes of us. How great is our God? How can it be that you died for the likes of me? And I lift up all our listeners. I lift up anyone that's come on late. I lift up our faiths see you, to know you, not just to know you. In your suffering, your messy death, your resurrection, and even as the trees die unto life right now around us, in the places where the deciduous trees shed their leaves. We know they're going to come back in the spring. Well, how do we know that? Other than this, you're a miracle-working God that brings life to death, that took what the devil means for evil in our lives and turns it around for good, no matter what. I speak that and I pray that over everyone who's listening. Thank you. How you bless our mess. In the name of Jesus, who has made a mess for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, I feel like I just went on a little ride. Hallelujah.
And
it might not have been a little ride, a big ride, but I was with you. I was with you every twist and every turn. I was with you. Hallelujah. I believe we were all with you every twist and every turn. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, so much of your heart just came out in that, you know, as you were speaking today. Of course, I love the part about the leaves. I'll never forget that. That was really good. Many years ago, I was walking through some woods at night. We were on a retreat in Blue Mountain in Pennsylvania, and I saw these green blobs. It was like at midnight. We were getting ready to go and pray at a chapel in the woods and up the mountain, and these green blobs, it was in the spring, and I saw these green blobs just come down, and then that one would come down, and I'd look another place, there's this great, great big green blob that would come down, and I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, do you think that leaves happen by themselves, or photosynthesis happens by itself? You know, these things are coming down, you know, from him. And I was like, whoa. And then as you were talking about how the green in the fall or autumn, the green colors come out.
Right.
And, you know, that is wonderful. That, I mean, and that really says, you know, like, okay, the chlorophyll comes down in the spring and the chlorophyll goes back up or, you know, wherever he takes it to.
Right.
And I've never seen it the opposite way, but I saw it in the springtime. So that's very meaningful to me. And then, you know, as you were talking about, you know, the people in the Bible, what they went through and, you know, Moses and Adam and Eve, you know, really stood out to me yesterday. Well, I've been preaching on the book of Job. And so, and looking at it from the perspective of God, what was he revealing of himself, you know, during that time, looking from that perspective. And one of the things that he's had us to see is that he's the author and the perfecter. And so he allows us to go through certain things because he's perfecting our faith. He began our faith. He's perfecting our faith. And the other day, yesterday actually, I went outside. I had been in for quite a while. I went outside. As soon as the sun hit my face, what I heard the Lord say was, sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. And then he went on to say, and this, I'm an evangelist to my heart, and this connected, the next scripture connected, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
it's a gift.
Not of work, lest any man should boast. As you were preaching tonight and you were talking about Adam and Eve, suddenly what I saw in the spirit was that the Lord gave them the opportunity to use their free will to decide to obey God or to disobey God. But either way they went, he already had a plan in his heart, in his mind, of what he was going to do, because these were his children.
Yes.
These were the ones that he loved. So either way they went. And so when they went the sin way, and disobeyed him, then they went on the grace road. By grace, they took us on the road to grace. By grace are you saved through faith. It took years and years before Jesus came where grace could be realized. But still,
so many years. We're talking 4,000 years.
Hey,
go ahead.
And 1,000 years is as a day. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Hallelujah.
I know.
So this is like, oh, okay,
you know,
well, okay, we're going to get this fixed in about 3-4 days, okay? Don't worry about it. But we're going to take you on the grace road. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And then I saw a vision. I saw a vision as you were speaking, with this same thought of, you know, where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. What I saw was a hole. It was like a hole, and every time there's sin, there's a hole that's being dug. There's a hole, and it gets deeper and deeper. And then where grace abounds, I saw it like a skyscraper. You know, if somebody's building a skyscraper, there's a hole that's dug first. It's a deep hole.
Oh, yeah.
The higher the building is, it's a deep hole. But it's not as deep as the building that's built on top of that hole. So, I mean, that's how he was showing me where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. Hallelujah.
Mm.
So Jesus, he came, like, you know, he came here for a reason. He came here to get us out of our mess, to bring that grace that's abounding even now, where sin is abounding. And hey, grace always out of bounds sin. Always. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I was so blessed by, you know.
Thank you.
And to me, when I can hear a preacher preach and God takes me away in the spirit, that's awesome to me. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I don't think
thank you for having me. And I just want to, I don't know if I stress enough about a tree dying unto death versus a tree dying or a tree dying unto life versus a tree dying unto death. When a tree die, I call it unto life. It's the promise that it's going to come back from the dead. We have we have this in Missouri. I don't think there's a place on earth that's got such a beautiful fall foliage than Missouri and parts of Illinois. And I'm sure other places. I'm sure anywhere in the Midwest. I'm sure anywhere in the Midwest. In California, or they have more of a nomenclature, you would call it, a tree. They of course, all through the U.S., trees are turning at various degrees, except in, like, tropical areas like Florida. The leaves don't turn colors that much. I have a buddy in San Diego who has to go up into the mountains to see change of colors. But for most of your listeners that can relate to this, that there's a beautiful array and presentation and palette of colors that man cannot – he can come close to depicting in paintings. But nothing like when the sun hits a red maple underside or the evening setting of the sun on a sugar maple or a glorious white or golden or red oak. It just shouts creation's call that in the fall that the sap's going down and now's the time to just soak it in, and soon the leaves will fall off. But you know what? There's the hope of resurrection in the spring. Now, how does that happen? How does that engine start? Cannot tell me that it was a mistake. There's no way. I mean, and so those are when a tree dies. So when we die unto life, that chlorophyll, that thin veneer, we shed, the colors start getting changed, and pretty soon it's all stripped away. Sometimes we go dormant, but we're not dead. And I think we can just kind of revel in that and harbor in that and know that, like you said, 1,000 years is as a day. We're going to be in eternity tomorrow, sister.
Hallelujah.
So we got to bring as many as we can. We got to grab as many as we can and save as many as that. I want to leave you and the guests with this. My life verse is in Proverbs 24:22, I think. Shame on me for not knowing exactly the reference, but it's rescue those who are being led away to death. Hold back those who are going to the slaughter.
Yes.
He really went to the end of the world. I mean, he died once. He broke the curse, and he's risen from the dead. He's given gifts to men and women. I thank you for the gift that he's given you. God in the Midst Radio, sister, that you have launched this thing. I pray that it goes forth to the ends of the earth. You are such a good host. You are such an encourager to me. You're Pastor Mama and the other sisters. You are women who know the joyful sound, and I just thank you for this honor, for asking me to share. And I just want to put a pitch out there, and you're going to put a pitch after I go off the air. God in the Midst, blogtalkradio.com. God in the Midst, blogtalkradio.com. God in the Midst, and they can catch this sermon from the beginning. They can catch last week's talk. You're such a good host, asking me questions about Pakistan, and the week before asking me questions about Murford and the first Thursday, asking me to give my testimony. You stirred up that spiritual gift in me, and I want you to know that. Thank you very much.
Amen. Now, we're still going to open up the line for anyone who wants to say anything. But first, before we do that, we must pray the prayer of salvation, because, you know, when you were talking, it was like, you know, somebody needs to get saved right now. Someone may be listening, you know, from Pakistan, and they heard this. They may be listening in another part of the world. They may be listening even in the year 3000. And I always like to say the year 2055, that's when I turn 100. And so, you know, people may be listening then, and they're like, I like all of this, what you're saying about Jesus. I want to get saved. I want to get born again. And so As Brother Phil said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, for God, this is a love thing. You know, as Brother Phil was talking about, you know, you do this for somebody you love, your child, your grandchild. But God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has children. So we're all children of God. And he loves us so much. He loves the world. So that means he loves you just the way that you are. But you know what? He loves you and loves us enough not to leave us this way. And so he provides a way for us to be saved. And Jesus is that way. And the way that we receive Jesus is Romans 10 and verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And confessing with your mouth is saying a prayer. Believing in your heart is choosing to believe what the Bible says, what Jesus has said. Nobody was here 2,000 years ago. None of us was here. But we have to make a choice to believe what he says in the word. And then when we make that choice and say it out of our mouth, amen, hallelujah, salvation comes as you speak out of your mouth, hallelujah. So repeat this prayer after me with all your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, that's it. Go ahead. Come on now. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and God raised you from the dead. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your way. Follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, I'm saved. I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time with all your heart, you are saved, you are born again, you are redeemed, you are the church. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You are saved. And so we want to pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch them right now. Fill them to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. Because they have entered into the very kingdom of God. Thank you for that, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that you fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and power to live right, power to walk right, power to talk right, power to think right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Power to just do the right thing every time, not hit or miss, in the name of Jesus. And then we thank you for power to be able to read the Word of God and to understand it by your Spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. And then, Lord, power to pray in their prayer language. You heard Brother Phil pray in his prayer language a couple of times tonight as he went up in the Spirit. You have your own prayer language. And we pray right now that your prayer language is released. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And we give God praise and glory for you. Hallelujah. We also want to invite you to go to a Bible-believing church. Amen. And you have churches all around and about you. And so God will lead you to a church where you can actually go into a physical church and be in a church service. Hallelujah. And we also invite you to learn and grow with us on Get 'Em Radio, our God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. We meet every Sunday. And you call the same number, 516-418-5699. We meet every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Barbara Kizzy, your apostolic pastor. Hallelujah. And so we meet every Sunday. This Sunday, we have a guest, and our guest church this Sunday is the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, where Pastor Price is the senior pastor, and Minister Joy and Minister Amber are the ministers in the church, and they'll all be speaking on this Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Praise God. On Monday, we have our Bible teaching, and that's with Dr. Lorraine Navarro, where she digs into the Word of God, and then she teaches us how to dig into the Word of God as well. That's every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. And we have Praying in Tongues Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, where we pray in tongues. We have four volunteers who pray in tongues about 15 minutes at a time. And then we have awesome interpretation of tongues after that. Amen. On Wednesdays, and that's 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of every month, we have a healing service called Prophetic Healing. Elder Philip Hawkey and Minister Linda Hawkey are our guest hosts. Hallelujah. Not guest hosts. They're our co-hosts. Amen. And every second Wednesday, so the next second Wednesday is Wednesday, November the 9th. And we meet at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And over the past three meetings, 25 healings have happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God is still in the healing business. So mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, and meet us here, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday, November the 9th. And then we have our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. That was our core edition. That's where we started 10 years ago. Glory to God. So we meet every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. This month coming up in November is our 10th anniversary. Hallelujah. We have been serving the Lord in this capacity as he has led us for 10 years. Amen. So we are celebrating. We're giving God glory. We're saying, look what the Lord has done all of the month of November on Thursday. Hallelujah. 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. We have guest speakers on those nights. Be prepared. You may even be asked to say something about Get 'Em Radio, and because a lot of you, you've been with us through these 10 years, or at least the past 4 or 5 years, consistently been with us. And so we want to hear from some of you who have been here with us all this time, what Get 'Em Radio has meant to you. And then we have other things. We plan on even playing a little game during that time with prizes. And you know, our guest speakers, and I'll tell you who they're going to be, and we're going to say, Lord willing, hallelujah, everything will just fall right into place. The first speaker is my apostle from New Jersey. Apostle Joel David Rudolph will be with us on November the 3rd, November the 10th. I'm sure you guys remember our good friend Bishop Aaron McClary. He's going to be with us on the 10th. On the 17th, we're planning on having Pastor Rodney Reeveling, a young man, you know, who loves the Lord, and he's the preacher's preacher. He'll be with us on the 17th of November. And then on Thanksgiving, we're going to have Pastor Herbert McCoy from Dallas, Texas. And this is my brother, y'all. You know, my mother has 7 children. 6 of us are licensed ordained ministers. So my brother's going to be preaching on Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And so we're planning on having a really good time, and we'd love to have you with us as we celebrate what the Lord has done. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up the lines now. We always start with Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. You all are in a good place for that. I see some of you have started to press your number 1 key. If you want to make any comments, you have any questions, you have any prayer requests, you have any prophecy requests, amen. You can press your number 1 key, and what God gives to us will give to you. Amen. I want to say something real, real, real quick is that I was looking at Blog Talk Radio, and we are under spirituality because we just chose to be under spirituality. Come to find out, spirituality covers a whole bunch of stuff. And I wanted to take Get 'Em Radio out of that spirituality. And I'm just hearing, for the time being, just stay right there, because somebody needs to know the true and living God in the midst of other spirituality. Amen and amen. All right, we're opening the line now for Pastor Mom and Pastor Catherine. Okay. Okay, Pastor Mom, I didn't have my button pushed. Say that again.
Good evening, everybody. And my blessed hearing talk and my blessed man is talk. And my thank you, Lord, for being with you and go with me for and the good for work that he did all the time. And I said, thank you, Lord. Be willing to stand by. Be willing to stand by. Amen.
In
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you said he did a good job, and then you were praying for him, and then you prayed for all of us too. Thank you, Pastor Mom. Amen. Amen. We appreciate that. And thank you for staying up this late too. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mom. God bless you, sister. Thank you so much. I know the Spirit of God is all over you and through you, and I love you in the Lord. Thank you.
I love you too.
Amen. Do you want to pray anything for her?
Lord, even as you say, out of the mouth of babes, you have established praise. Silence the enemy to make the revengeful cease. Out of the mouth of the likes of Pastor Mom, you have established praise to silence the enemy and to make the revengeful cease. And I thank you, God, that her words, you hear her words, you hear her everywhere. Her daughter hears the words, even if I didn't. And it's precious, precious, precious I think of how you, Lord, have given us words of gold and sockets of silver, your words. I pray for Pastor Mom that with every breath she remains on this earth, that with people will come to her, and as she touches them, there will be healing happening. I pray for revival at their house of worship.
Yeah,
that open the windows. I hear God say, open the windows and open the doors. I know it's getting cold. Throw open the windows, throw open the doors in the spirit, and let the light come in. Rays of sunshine are going to be coming in. The Father of lights is going to bring good gifts and perfect things to you. There's not going to be any variation or shifting of shadow. And, yeah. He's raised you up for such a time as this. And I just bless you, Pastor Mom, for being a proof of the motherhood and fatherhood of Father God, who made male and female in his image, and that the covering that he's given to you, that you will be able to pass on as you have breath and life and being. There still is no weapon formed against you who can prosper, and all your charge in your place and your family and your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, that you can claim everyone for the kingdom and that they will save many.
Hallelujah.
Thank
great
you.
Is the army of great is the host of women who know the joyful sound.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Catherine, welcome.
Well, praise God. Brother Philip,
hello, Pastor.
So good to hear you again tonight. But I want to
thank you, Pastor Catherine.
Yes, I've gotten so involved in the things that you've been doing and everything, and I forgot to mention last week, I'm still looking for a call about my willow tree. And I have another tree that needs some attention.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still looking for that. Praise God.
Okay. And you know what? Sister Barbara, did you pass on her address to me? And if you did, I apologize. I need to dig it up. I'm flexible next week. And I'm going to ask you to give me a reminder, Barbara.
Okay.
I have an issue where I have three books and I got notes in every book. And actually, I'm going to write you on the palm of my hand. That's what Jesus says. So he never forgets us, right?
Amen. Praise God. But I enjoyed your message tonight. And I was really God just kind of laid on my heart tonight about, you know, what you said about your home was taken, but it really wasn't taken. God just moved some things out of the way, so His purpose and will could be done. And
I messed up. I actually messed up. That was a big mess up in many ways. But that was a proof that He just didn't drop kick me out of His plan.
Right.
But
that's
like
right.
You say,
right.
He moved me on. Yeah.
Yeah. His purpose and His plan was being fulfilled. And, yeah.
Thank you.
I think that should be a nugget for all of us. Even those of us that are still going through today and some things, and we may not like it at that particular time. But we must know, especially if we, like you said, if we are His children, that He's working some things out for our good. And not only for our good, but for His good, because He said we were created for His purpose. And not just for us, but for His purpose.
Mm.
So I just want to say thank you so much. And I was also, when you spoke about the trees and the nature just crying out, oh, that really touched my heart. It's not so much global warming, but they're just crying out. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the revealing all nature cries out for the revealing of the sons and God daughters of God. There's that verse too.
Yeah.
You know what? What when you just said before I passes, you just said about and that we were created for His purpose. You know, I think of a father and mother when they have a baby, they're not creating the baby for the baby's kabbalah. They want to have a child. Wow, when you just said it, it just dawned on me. They're not creating a child for the purpose of childbirth. Now, when the child comes into earth, things shift. And their purpose is the child's purpose. But when they first create that child, it's for their purpose. They want to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have a part of them. That's just more and more revelation, sister. Thank you.
Praise God. Well, I just want to tell you thank you so much. I have enjoyed all of this. I have enjoyed you all of this month, and I just want to say thank you so much. And God bless.
God bless, Sister Jackie.
Amen.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah. Amen to that. One of these days I might join you on a tongues talking Tuesday. That sounds a little like overwhelming to me, but you know, it doesn't mean you got to talk. You know, just don't ask me to talk in tongues, pray in tongues for 15 minutes, even though maybe I could. But when you said there's interpretation and prophecies on top of it, that's some power there. What does Paul say? Speaking and praying in the spirit at all times for all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Praying in the spirit is praying in the spirit.
Amen.
So yeah, maybe I'll see some Tuesday. We'll see. I've been you know we'll see. You tongue talker.
Yeah. I mean you know while
devil,
you're up a tree or something you can just listen.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
especially,
just, you know,
especially in the dark.
And listen. Yeah,
don't be
afraid or anything. We're not going to ask you. We already have people assigned when we start.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Listen to all the junk we hear. You know, I listen to podcasts until they're coming out of my ears, and I've been so filled up with politics. I'm actually on a 9-day fast in many ways, and one of the things I'm fasting is actually my podcast I listen to, I can't pray. I mean, I can't hear God. I just get riled up to know what's going on. I know enough of what's going on for 1,000 American men who could give a rip. So I don't have to listen to another political podcast. So I couldn't think of a better thing but to listen to a bunch of warrior women praying violently in the spirit.
All right.
Hallelujah. Okay.
So
okay.
We'll look forward to you joining us.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? I see you, Minister Rachel and family, and I see you, Pastor Price. Anyone else? We still have some time. Press your number one key and get in the queue and encourage the man of God. Amen. Minister Rachel and family, welcome.
Hi. Actually, I think some of the family a little calmed down, so it's kind of quiet here in the house. Gabriel sleep and everyone's a little quiet. What I wanted to say was when he was talking about how a parent would go through what you would go through to get that child back, I immediately God brought me back to the time when my son Marcus was lost in Walmart Supercenter. God had mercy on me. What happened was I was still married to my husband, and we were shopping and getting things, and I like order, so I had to hold my hands, plus I had him in the cart strapped down, so him and his brother were strapped I think, wait a minute, I think Malachi was in the car seat. Marcus was strapped down in the part of how the cart itself looked at like, and I had him strapped. All of a sudden, his dad was, because he's very, very laid back at times and just let them just run, and I know how the boys are. They explore through the clothes and everything. That's why I said, I think I said, please don't take them out. Leave them strapped in. And why I had to get tested in Walmart, did you know? God was so merciful to me that I shut down Walmart, literally. I was not letting no one leave the entrance. I shut it down. Yes, I'm Holy Ghost filled with everything. I shut it down. I said, I don't want to hear no Amber Alert. No. All these cameras, I mean, they had all these cameras and everything. That my son is somewhere in the store. Ain't nobody leaving until I get my son. We came together. We're leaving out together. And you know, God heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. Because a nightmare with dreads brought me my son. And I ain't let him go. But yes, God had to calm my heart because I was super upset with my husband.
Wow.
But God calmed me down that day because I was not playing. I said, I'm getting all my kids. Ain't nobody going to be on no sofa. No notebox. I ain't playing this.
No.
I was serious. But God heard my prayer. I mean, I didn't act ignorant, but my emotions was getting there. I was not. Everybody looked at me. No one dared to. I mean, not even the security dared to touch me. I didn't get crazy or anything because I was Holy Ghost filled. And I was like, God kept me calm, still bold in it. Like I'm telling the devil, you're not gonna play with me today. The blood of Jesus against you. I'm gonna get my son back. God gave him to me, and he ain't done yet. I'm getting my son back, and we're none of us leaving until he comes back to me. And then God had that man with dreads, that nice man, and he gave me my son, and I was happy. But God had to come.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I thank you, Lord, that today my son is 15, and he is not on a milk carton. Thank you, Jesus. He's 15 home
thank
with me.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All my kids are. Hallelujah. God loves me that much. He saw my heart, and he just comforted me right there. It felt like, oh, my dear, but I love the Lord. It felt like, God, Mom, it felt like so many hours before they brought him to me, but I was not letting no one leave until I got my son. Me, a little lady, 5'1", but I believe the host of heaven was backing me, and heaven, the kingdom of darkness, shut it down because they had to be under subjection to God's holy power. I was getting my son back. Marcus Daniel McQuilla back. I wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
His name means the Daniel. I hope I'm saying it right. God is my judge. Hallelujah. Because I wasn't playing. I wanted my prince. I wanted my little one back. I love them kids.
Amen.
God gave them. Amen. Those are my blessings.
Amen. And just like you felt like that, that's how the Lord is about us.
No,
amen.
I called them by name before the foundation of the world. They are mine, and devil, you can't have them. I came, I stepped out of eternity into time, for their lives are mine. I love them, and I redeemed them back to me. Those are my bride, and I'm coming for
hallelujah.
Them, and I'm going to teach them, and I'm going to strengthen them, and they're going to continue to love me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time the devil comes to the throne, he's like, oh, she's going to continue to love me. You may touch this. She's going to continue to love me. You may mess with her finances. She'll continue to love me. You may have given my grandson COVID 3 times, but God, I'm going to continue to love him. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may have given my oldest daughter COVID 3 times, but you raised her up again to where they had testimony, they had none no more. He kind of my shunda. God is a good God, and I'm going to keep on worshiping him in spirit and truth because he is a God who is the air I breathe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is awesome. And he keep on blessing me. Keep on providing for me.
pay the rent.
Yes. Hallelujah. You are our hiding place. You are our keeper. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Our restorer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God bless you, man of God, for being obedient and saying yes to God. How, no matter how you felt, you said yes to God. And bless you and your beautiful family. May God keep you strong in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, sis.
Amen.
Thank you. I receive that. There's no ransom. The ransom that Satan demanded was God. Because remember, he wanted the place of God. He wanted that pinnacle of power. And when he had the children of God, he had the children of God down through the ages. They were in a holding place. But God knew, even though he had to wait for the fullness of time, for whatever reason, he had to wait all that time come back to earth for 3 short years in the flesh. He had planned it, he had timed it, he had delivered it. What a story we have to tell. Let us not hold back, God. Let us speak what the Father is saying at this hour in our nation and in the world. As the sister was talking and delivering in the power of her prayer, you were the ransom he wanted, and you gave him. You came down, and he thought he had her done. This is what he required. There was he didn't want money. Even though people have tried to buy their way out of sin and death through all kinds of money, all kinds of idols, all kinds of trying to find ways to this day of living forever, he wanted God. And God gave Satan God. He gave him God in the flesh, torn in the flesh, bleeding from the flesh on an old rugged cross. But like Apostle Paul said, had they known that you were going to rise the grave, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory.
Hallelujah.
So the curse is broken. It's broken.
Yes.
He paid the ransom in full for whoever will come to the water to drink, come to podcast radio, God in the midst, to eat you without money, without bread, without money, without cost. In Jesus' mighty, sacrificial Lion of the Tribe of Judah, mother bear robbed of her cubs, mother Jackie with a son lost in Walmart, or
Rachel.
Rachel. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Same mother there. Amen. Let's go on to Pastor Price. Thank you. Thank you, Minister Rachel. Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. Pastor Price, welcome.
God bless you, Apostle, and to Brother Phil and Pastor Mom. Glory to God, Pastor Catherine, and all of the precious saints in your respective places tonight. My heart was so encouraged tonight as you ministered from me and shared and ministered from your heart tonight, Brother Phil. I really thank God for you. I was led by the Spirit to say to you first, as I go back on how your message impacted me tonight, but I'm going to the end first and then go to the beginning, is that the Lord said, if you ever doubt about that you have done and ministered and preached in the way that God wanted you to do today, he said, remember, he wanted a Brother Phil. He said he called you to do it the way he gave it to you. He has, it's almost like when you look at the potter and the potter begins to work with the clay. Once he begins to form that pottery in the way that he would have it to be formed, as you know, and then it'll go into the fire, and then they come back out the kiln, and they'll turn around and do what? They'll begin to paint on the outside. I love that part, when you begin to put the individual touches on the pottery that you're making. And God said, you're an individual. He didn't call anybody else to be like you. And so even when you're finished and tonight when you lay in your bed alone with the Lord, and even though you're with your wife and you and him and you're talking with you and him, you and the Lord said, just know that you did it the way that he wanted you to do it, because he called you. He didn't call, you know, there's only one. My name is Helen. There's only one Helen Price. There's only one, my sister, Apostle Barbara Kizzy, my mom, Pastor Mom.
Yes.
But you are one of the, what God is called to do, what he has you to do at this time. He made your mouth the way he made you. He made your personality the way he made you for such a time as this. Now I want to go back to the word that God ministered through you tonight, because as you began to tell us the title, Joseph, Jonah, and Jesus, and coming from the pit, ones that have been into the pit. It just ministers so much, because even when you got used to some messages that we go through are some that have been, we've been put in that, but then some of our own making, as you said. And then what got my attention really made me stop and know that it was a confirmation for me, the message too. I woke up this morning, and as I did, the scripture, Romans 8:28, began to boom into my spirit. All things working together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose and plan. And then what the Lord had me to do was, as the day went on and grew on, still all I'm hearing, Romans 8:28. And so later on, as I talked to my daughters, and the Lord said, tell your daughter, this is all working together for good. It's going to work together for good, because they love me and they're called according to my purpose and plan. So I knew, hallelujah. I said, oh, wow. And then my children know how much, and they've gotten the same love that I've gotten about trees. I look at them now, and I said, it looked like it's their idea that they got this love. Which it is, it's God's idea. Let me leave that alone. I just love trees, and I love especially the autumn part of the year. And they have come to the place that they love the autumn, the changing of the trees to those golds. And I love how you ministered about those symphony of colors, and how when a tree is, you said, dying unto death, and that's a great color, just as not. But when you're dying, when it was dying unto life, and going dormant, how the leaves turn colors. Hallelujah. Yeah. And how the colors were there all the time. I also thank God for the song that you had. I'm just giving my little recap of what I heard, and how you ministered in that song, how the fire was made seven times harder. Hotter, hallelujah, glory to God. And I was listening, couldn't get all the song, but I got as much as I could down. And then you came to a part of one of my all-time favorite song that I just have sang through the years, and I play it through the years, is that I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you begin to say, I said, oh, Lord, what a great blessing that was to hear that. And you went through each part of it. And then you went to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. The all-surpassing power is from God, and it's not from us. Every part of the message tonight, I just want to say I thank God first. I thank you for being obedient. I thank God for you allowing yourself to be positioned over the years. This is not a, I just watch when you speak. I listen, because the word says, as the mouth tasted food in Job, it says it twice in the book of Job, that as the mouth tasted food, so the ears will test the words that it hears. And you will come out with these special nuggets that have been invested in you through the years. And you share out of your heart. Now, sometimes there are people that try to do things the way somebody else does. God gives me many times a script, and he'll tell me, I'll write down what he tells me to write down and do it the way he gave me to do it. Some will have a hoop, and I say, and the Lord, and they'll have a hoop. That's the way God gave them that. That was the way God gave them to do it the way God told them to do it. So I'm back at the end again, is that I was hearing that God wanted a Phil. He wanted a brother Phil. And he wanted a brother Phil to do it the way he gave you to do it. So I just want to thank God for you for this whole month. What a wonderful, awesome experience that it has been. Again, I pray that God will continue to catapult you to the next dimension in ministry that he has called you to. Now, I say this, and I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to get ready to start. Know for surety that there, again, I said this to someone the other night, and I'm going to say it again to you, and God says this to me. Whether anybody validates you or values you or pats you on the back and say, good job, you did a good job. He said, you look for my validation. And I believe that he's telling you, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over much. He's the one that says, I value you. He said, I know that you wanted to go into other places. I know that you wanted to do certain things. He said, but he's had you on his pathway, on his course for what he's called you to do. And so I just thank God for you. I ask God's blessing upon you and your lovely wife and family, upon the ministry, and upon all that he has called you to do. And that's God's blessing in Jesus' name. And I thank God for you, man of God. And I'm going to get ready to go back on mute. God bless. Hallelujah.
You, Sister Price, thank you, Pastor. She filled me up to overflowing so much.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Price.
Your gang of gals. Oh, my gosh.
A gang of gals.
I don't think we've ever called that before, but
I know that's a loving and kind way. Hallelujah.
Gang, holy fire gals. Wow. Wow. This is, you guys are all something to not be reckoned with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, sister. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's been a good month. Hallelujah. Even with the changing of the leaves, Lord, even with the shedding of the colors, even with the blowing of your breeze, we're to be at peace. Even as the wind blows from one way and goes the other, we don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to give any closing remarks. I wanted to make sure that people who may want to give to your organization, the Spring People, out of the labor, the bonded labor over in Pakistan,
right.
And the other that God has you doing, that they can go to your website, and the website is freedomcry.life, freedomcry.life, 501c3 organization. You can donate to that, and that, you know, of course, that makes it tax deductible since they're 501c3. Amen. And if you wanted to get in touch with him by email, and his email is freedomcryinfo@gmail.com. And you can probably see that when you go to the website as well, how you can email him. Amen. And so I do believe that this is a good thing to sow into, a good ministry to sow into. You know, talk to the Lord about it. You know, just don't just say, eh, but just talk to the Lord about it and see what he would have you to seed into that. Because for free, that's got to be awesome seed to sow. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So come on back and give us any closing remarks, and then you can give us closing prayer.
Okay. Well, I'll share this, that, you know, when you'd asked me to preach, I woke up today, and this was a day like other days where I had five or six things, and I was like, well, I'm going to sit down before the Lord. I'm going to get in my disciplined Bible reading today. My wife and I have a read the Bible through in a year deal where, you know, it might be a couple of chapters in Jeremiah and then maybe a chapter in First Timothy and then a psalm and a proverb. And lo and behold, I'm getting chats from Pakistan, you know, because we have teams on the ground there and teachers and superintendents now, and we have things happening. And so it was easy for me to say, well, God, my wife's leaving the house for work ahead of me. Make sure you get the reading done. Make sure you get your reading done. And the Holy Spirit speaks through her and convicts me. And I sometimes just, I'll sit down and then something else. And then I was supposed to get this proposal out for a tree work. I didn't do it. And I'll put the Bible down again. I'll put the Bible down. And then I hear a beep, beep, beep on, and I get lured into a social media notice or something like that. And before I knew it, still not out the door. And I still got five or six things and stops to make. And you know what I did? And I'm like, and I knew I had to preach in the back of my head. Well, was that first on my agenda? It should have been. But you know what I did? I said, even though I had these things getting heavier and heavier that I had to do, and I was getting more and more backtracked, I put it all down. I sat before the Lord, and I said, the heaven with it, instead of the H-E-L-L with it, you know, I'm not going to do any of this. And I got quiet before the Lord. And here I'm in the ninth day of, I'm getting in a tizzy. And the purpose of this was to fast everything, not just good foods. You know, I drink lemon juice. If anyone's curious how I can work and climb trees on days without eating, I make a slurry, a lemon, squeeze lemon, cayenne pepper, and maple syrup. Those three ingredients enable me to have the strength to do what I do and still maintain a fast. But was I fasting going hither and yon? Was I fasting, going from one thing to the other? In other words, I was feeling the rush that we feel at times, right? Even in ministry, the rush or whatever. I mean, there's certain things you have to do to keep your word and go from point A to point B, but there's a lot of stuff in between that we're doing, busy stuff, and I didn't make God first and foremost. So I'm sitting down, and he down as soon as I started getting in his presence, he was like, I look up at the ceiling, and he's just instantly started downloading the sermon that I gave tonight.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, thank you, God. I forgot about the sermon. And he's like, yeah, you've been quiet enough now for me to give it to you. And I didn't even ask him for it. I'm just sitting there in his presence, and he downloads the sermon because I was in his presence. And I just started tapping stuff, and then, you know, and so I just, how long God waits for us, and how little I wait on him. And I just want to repent before you and everyone else, and who, I mean, we're a mess. I'm a mess, right? And I'm so sorry for coming in. I come on and you go, well, hello. We have 30 seconds. So forgive me for not coming on 5 minutes earlier and praying with you. Please forgive me, sister. You're still full of grace.
You're forgiven. All is well. Grace abounds.
Yeah, I heard that earlier tonight from you, huh? Where the sin is, grace abounds all the more. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. So,
hello.
Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time you spent with us. And we, you know, we prayed for you at the beginning, and we just continue to pray that the Lord will, all of the virtue that has come through you in ministering, you know, to us, and then continuously ministering, that all the virtue that comes through you is replaced without limits, measures, or bounds, that you are continually refreshed, renewed, restored, and rejuvenated.
Hmm.
Hallelujah. And filled to overflowing and refilled overflowing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we just bless God for you. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You said wherever two or more are in here meeting, these faithful loyal of this ministry, you're in the midst. You're in the midst. What a name. What a logo. What a brand. What a declaration. What a promise that you're in the midst of all the galaxies, all the billions upon galaxies upon galaxies. You named the stars. You made them as many as the sand and the sea. But you're in our midst. And it's huge, so huge. There are no words.
Oh,
there's faith, and there's hope, and there's love. And the greatest of these is love, Lord. Help us to go forth with that, and God in the midst of going forth with that. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. I just love you in the love of our Lord. Thank you for asking me that day in Trader Joe's. When I made a big Murford on a big piece of cardboard for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much. And
mm-hmm. You're welcome.
We're going to, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Brother Phil, God bless everyone. Love you all. Have a blessed rest of the night. Amen.
Y'all tell the people them, don't.